have your Bibles tonight, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Now, it's been about 3 or 4 weeks since we went through it. I want to do a real quick review, kind of get you up to speed. And then we're going to start again at verse 10 of chapter 1. We'll end up tonight, if I can get there, in verse 21. I want to be done about 20 after, if I can, because we don't have a special tonight, so it still gives me about 30 minutes. And I want to draw your attention tonight. Philippians is a book that is unlike Corinthians. There are no church problems to address. There's no specific doctrinal issue. Good doctrine is assumed. You'll notice, if you would, in verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, so it's a Philippian congregation of this church with the bishops and deacons. Now, you'll remember, as we looked into Titus, a bishop and elder are the same exact position. Deacons are the other positions. There are two positions in the local church. Deacons, and then elders is the word presbyteros, which is the word we get our English word from, like the Presbyterian. And then there's episkopos, which get the word that's for bishop. It's a word for overseer. So one describes his position as overseer. One describes sort of the age of the person, the elders. They're to be a little bit older, these pastors of the churches. And you can see there were more pastors and deacons in this church than one or two. But you'll notice, if you would, that Paul is in prison. He is writing from prison, and it's speaking. He is trying to get the Philippian people to understand that I'm concerned about what is in you growing than what is out of you and you're doing. He's trying to get you to be somebody for Jesus Christ. That your heart would come out in godliness and righteousness. And you'll notice, if you would, that Paul, being in prison, now he's in a prison being put there by Nero. Nero was one of the most wicked leaders of Rome that ever lived. He burned Rome almost to the ground. He would light the Appian Way, spoken of in Acts chapter 28, the main thoroughfare into Rome. He would light it by impaling Christians and covering them with tar and setting them on fire. You and I cannot imagine the evil in this man. And this man put Paul in prison. He's in a dungeon. There's no water, no food unless they bring it to him a little bit at a time. No clothing. He's laying on the ground. He doesn't have a bed. It is very difficult. But because Paul is in love with the Lord, and he is, all the sacrifices he's being required to make or for the cause of Christ, he's good. Look in chapter 4. And I want you to just follow with me. Chapter 4. Look in verse 18. I have all and abound. I am full. My goodness. How does a man in prison facing imminent death say, I'm abounding. I'm full. Because it's not about our outward circumstances, as most Christians deal with. It's about our inward relationship between us and Jesus Christ. The fellowship and the sweetness that we have with the Lord. That we can be in a dungeon and in a prison and there can be joy in our heart. We can have be in a hospital and not have much time left and have joy in our heart. We can be on the top of a mountain and our job is doing wonderful and we just got a bonus and a raise. But that's not necessarily what gives us our joy. It is that sweetness between us and the Lord. And folks, the only way you can walk in joy steadily is if your joy comes from your fellowship with the Lord. Now, notice back over in chapter 1, he begins to remind us, verse 9, this I pray. So he prays for them daily, that your love may abound yet more and more. And that's our theme for the year, that our love would abound more and more, that we would grow to love the Lord and to love others more and more every day. Folks, I want you to be a people that love other people. We're going to be let down. We're going to be hurt. But that doesn't affect the joy of the Lord in our heart. We forgive and go on. We're gracious and go on. Doesn't mean we don't try to get it settled. We do. But we're of the kind of people that our joy comes from the Lord. It's not about circumstances. I had a bad day at work. Christians like that are up and down, due to circumstances. These Christians were not that way. And he's trying to build them into the kind of Christians like he's become. I'm in prison, but I'm full. The joy of the Lord is in my heart. Notice, if you would, in verse 9, I am praying for your love to be abounding more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. I want you to, notice verse 10, that you may approve things that are excellent. I want you to make good decisions. I want you to make decisions that are not just good decisions. Young people, I don't want you to just make good decisions. He said, I want you to make the decisions that are excellent, the best that you can make. I always want you to search for, because of your love, the best decision for Christ's sake. Notice, if you would, he says that you may be sincere. Now, we went over this word last time. It was in this day and age, they would make a piece of furniture and maybe they didn't have very good wood. So they would fill in the cracks with wax and then stain over it, color over it, so it looked beautiful. But they learned to find people. They would learn which furniture shop to go to, because they would take that table and put it out in the sun and it would melt the wax. And they would look at him and say, that's not a sincere table. And he's using that and says, you and I need to be sincere Christian. There's no wax in our life. We're filled with the Spirit of God. We're not filled with half the Spirit of God and half the joy of our job, or the joy of money we have, or the bank account that we have, or our new car or new house, or our new clothes, or new anything, or whatever makes us happy. That is a byproduct. That is something on the side. Our joy comes from the Lord. So he says, I want you to be sincere, real. No wax, nothing filling in your life other than the Spirit of God, and without offense. This is a great, I put a proskopon, which means there's no log that you put down in front of anybody. You don't have the trait of getting furious, losing your temper, and laying a log down in front of somebody. You don't have the trait of, when something doesn't go your way, you get angry and you blow up on somebody. You don't lay down that log there. You don't say a choice word here and there as a Christian, because you're not going to leave a stumbling block for your children or for your husband or for your wife or somebody at work. He says, you're without offense. And it's not just for the next month. Is till Christ comes. In other words, you have the intention of never leaving an offense, correcting the things in your life so that your inward person, what comes out is real. You're sincere and without offense. And notice, he says, 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Now, this is, you and I, the Holy Spirit comes into our heart. We yield to the Holy Spirit. Now, let's pause for a minute. Turn back to two books, Galatians chapter 5. And he says, I want you to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. The righteous one is the Holy Spirit. So notice in verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is... Here are the fruits that he's speaking about, the fruits of righteousness. When you do what is right, now watch this, you're saved, the day you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart. And he dwells there. If you looked in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are his. You and I are filled with God's Spirit. His Spirit comes into our heart. And the Holy Spirit begins to touch our hearts whenever we do something that's not right. He's encouraging to us. And we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, guide my steps and my thoughts. And the Holy Spirit guides a Christian. One of the things that happens is the Holy Spirit begins to bring forth fruit in our life. We begin to love people better. Notice verse 22. We begin to have greater joy because we're not having to make every decision. We're yielding to the Holy Spirit, and he is guiding our thoughts into approving things that are excellent in our life. We're sincere now. We're not leaving offenses because we have turned our heart over and our desires over to the Holy Spirit. So notice, he says, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. We can put up with things. We can suffer for a while and still do right. This is Paul. He's long-suffering in prison. But he's given his heart to the Lord and said, Lord, I am yours. If you want me here, just give me the joy that I can accept this and endure this. Remember, he got cold. He asked for someone to bring his cloak and the parchments. He wanted to read the scriptures. It's not like there was light in his cell. So he would remember scripture and he would pray regularly. He prayed for so many people. Almost every book that he wrote, I pray for you. What else can you do in a prison cell that has no light in it? You spend your time praying for others. Now, you could pray for yourself and get me out of this, but he was long-suffering. The Spirit was filling him with long-suffering. Lord, you put me here. You have a plan for me. I'll yield to you. Notice, if you would, gentleness. The Bible says, we're going to look at it in a minute, but the entire palace where Paul was when he was in prison, the entire area, all the people heard about Jesus Christ. They heard about that man in prison because he was not the typical prisoner. He would sing. He would pray for people. He was gentle to his captors. He was gentle to the guards. Notice, goodness. Mr. Guard, what is your name? Could I pray for your family? I overheard you say your wife is sick. What is your name so I could pray for her? What? He was filled with goodness and faith. God is going to use this for the better. Notice, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are the fruits of righteousness. Now flip back over to Philippians chapter 1. And you'll notice it says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ fill our spirits. And they bring forth these fruits. These are not something you say, I'm going to work on being good. We do that, but we say, dear Holy Spirit, give me the strength to do that. And we work on many things, but the Holy Spirit changes our nature into a spiritual nature. And then as we begin to grow in Christ, the spiritual nature begins to take over control from the fleshly nature. The fleshly nature says, they can't do that to me. I'm going to pay them back. The spiritual nature says, the Lord must be have a plan, and I know what something's going on in their life. I'm going to pray for them. Pray for those that despitefully use you. That's the Spirit of God growing us from the inside out. Notice, he says in verse number 11, which are by Jesus Christ under the glory and praise of God. So these fruits are not for people to praise us. They're for the praise of the Lord. That the Lord can say, there's one of my children. There's another one of my children. Boy, they're filled with my fruits, the fruit of my spirit. And look how different they are. I'm so proud of them. Notice, if you would, in verse number 12. Now, this is a part of the long suffering and the understanding of Paul as the Holy Spirit is growing him in Christ. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Paul is interested in getting the gospel out. That's one of his goals in life. He wants to be Christ-like, and he wants to get the gospel out. So he's in prison, and he said, God's plan is working. I'm in prison, but I got a chance to witness to this guard and to that guard. He brought somebody else over, and the word's getting around. Notice, if you would, verse 13. So that my bonds in Christ, my chains that I'm wearing in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds, because Paul is now saying, woe is me. I'm freezing. Somebody send me some clothes. Somebody send me some blankets. Would somebody complain to Pharaoh's guards? There's none of that. Lord, you help me to endure. There's long suffering. And notice, he said, it's emboldening people. When you and I handle difficulty well, it strengthens people around us. When we forgive, it helps others forgive. When we're good to people, it helps others be good to people. When we're gentle. Notice, if you would, verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. Now follow with me. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. There are some guys out there preaching, well, look, if you preach too hard about Christ, they'll throw you in jail. So, you know, look, if you're smarter, they won't throw you in jail. So they're trying to make Paul look bad. But he said, I rejoice that they're preaching the gospel, no matter what they say about me. Notice, he says, verse 17, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. And there are others preaching, and they're saying, pray for Paul. He's in prison for the gospel's sake. He's trying to get the word of God out. There's a graciousness about him. There's a love about him. And Nero doesn't want the gospel out. He hates us as Christians. We all know that. We have to be careful when we meet with Nero's guards around. We have to be wise. Notice verse number 18. What then? Notwithstanding in every way, whether in pretense or in truth. In other words, these preachers, if they preach sincerely the Christ and are using me as an example of what not to be, there's pretension there. He said, in pretension or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. We always want to be rejoicing in the growth of the gospel, in the growth of other people, even if it's at our expense sometimes. Somebody does something that hurts us. They don't apologize and they go on, but we forgive it and we pray for them. And down the road a ways, all of a sudden, they grow and realize they didn't do the right thing. They don't come back to us necessarily. But they become an example because they saw our example. All of a sudden, he says, I rejoice that Christ is honored. Notice, if you would, in verse number 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. I trust your prayers for me. I know that your prayers, through your prayers, I'm going to receive salvation. When he says that, I'm going to receive salvation from this prison. I'm going to get delivered from this prison one way or another. Now, keep in mind, he's building up to one of the great statements in Scripture. He says, I know your prayers for me, or Lord, deliver Paul or give him strength until the end. And he says, I know that your prayers for me are going to be what delivers me. God's going to answer. Notice what he says. He says, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The supply of the Spirit. I know that the Spirit of God taking more and more control of my life is going to be that which strengthens me to go through this difficulty. Notice, if you would, in verse number 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always. Now, I'm going to pause right there. I said, I want my spirit to always be strong enough to lift up Christ. Notice the next part. That with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ should be magnified in my body. He said, I want Christ to be magnified in this physical body. If I hurt, I want Christ to be magnified the way I deal with it. If I'm mocked, I want Christ to be magnified the way I deal with it. You see, Paul is trying to get people to learn it's who you are on the inside that's important. And the outside is the fruit of the inside. The way you talk to people. The way you act around people. Even when you're hurting. He said, the Lord can give you the strength to, and the Spirit of God takes over your life. He can bring forth fruit in the greatest hurt. I'm in prison. I'm cold. I'm hungry. I'm under the sentence of death. But I have the joy of the Lord. I am full. Tonight, all of us, I just want to encourage you to begin to rely more upon the Lord, upon your devotions and learning from the Lord, and on your prayers, than on your job and the check that we get every week or every other week or once a month, or the money we've saved up, or the cars that we drive. Let's put our trust in the Lord, and that He would mold us and make us that we can have the same spirit with or without the things of this life going well. That's the challenge of this book. Notice, if you would, and then he makes some great statements. Follow with me. So now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul knows he's about ready to die. Nero hates him. He's got him in prison. And he doesn't know what's going to happen. He's gotten out once before, but he doesn't know if he's going to get out this time. So he says, whether I live or die, I just want Christ to be glorified. And folks, if that's our spirit, we can take it when somebody mistreats us. Because the fruit of the Spirit gives us long suffering. He gives us forgiveness. He gives us joy. Don't let the circumstances steal your joy. Because then Jesus Christ is not glorified. Notice what he says. This great verse, you might want to underline it, memorize it. For me, to live is Christ. Now, he's in prison. He has very little food, very little warmth, very few friends can visit him. Isolated from everything. And he said, for me to live is Christ. He has such a warm connection with Jesus Christ. In prayer. In spirit. That the fruit of righteousness is oozing out of his life. The guards see it. The guards are talking about it. In the palace, they're talking about it. But that man, Paul, is amazing. His God must be real. And the gospel is spreading. Because of the fruit of righteousness these people have. And folks, we can have that same fruit. And that's what God wants for us. The fruits of righteousness. Are you an encouragement consistently to your mate? Are you an encouragement consistently to your brother or sister? We can be going to school, we can be complaining about homework or complaining about a test or complaining, or we can be joyful and say, Lord, would you help me to do my best? And would you help my friend that sits beside me, help him to do well? And we walk in and say, you know, I've been praying for you that you'll do well in school. I'm praying for myself too, but I'm really praying that you understand and that you make good grades. I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Where's that kind of spirit in a Christian school? In a church? One of the reasons we try to share health issues and surgeries and people needs is not because we want you to think we got a lot of health problems. It's because we want you to take some of your time and your goodness and your love and share it on these people. Write a card to them. Send them an email. I'm praying for you. Take a little time for the love of Christ's sake and spread it on other people. You see, folks, all of us are busy. But did you know what? Nobody in this room's got more than 168 hours in any week. It's what you do with it. Nobody here gets... how many of you have gotten multiple cards or comments or kind things from some people, but you've gotten it multiple times from some people? Would you raise your hand? Let me see it. Raise it up. Okay, look here. You know what? They got the same 168. We do. They just use it differently. They use it for others. And so that's Paul. Now, he says this. Follow his reading, this passage, verse 21. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, I got nothing to lose. Nero must have hated this guy. He could torment him. He can torture him. He can keep him in prison. And he just keeps oozing with joy. It's like, I don't know what makes this guy tick. But that's why the gospel spread around the world. Because there were more Pauls. There were more people that rejoiced in doing what's right. They weren't concerned so much for the loss of their goods and things like that. They were more concerned with if the Lord pleased with me. Did I have a good day for your sake? Did I live for Christ today? Because they knew heaven was coming. And you know it too, folks. All of us do. Notice this, and we'll close. Chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let that be your goal this week. Let the mind of Christ be in you. I'm going to pray for so-and-so. Lord, would you forgive this person? Lord, would you bless this person? I'm going to invest some of my 168 hours this week in other people. I am going to take the fruit of the Spirit and I'm going to shed it on somebody else. Tonight, could I encourage you to be the Christian this week that glorifies Christ? All of us can do it, but you have to yield to the Holy Spirit and take your hours and use them better for the Lord's sake. Notice this word. Listen very carefully. I'll remind you of this, that you may approve things that are excellent, not just good, but excellent. A note, a card, an email, a prayer, things that people may not know. But one of these days you can say, I just want you to know I've been praying for you. Tonight, could I challenge you, take this week and say, Lord, help me to use my 168 hours like you would. Give me your mind this week. And he'll do it. Let's bow for a word of prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and just play a verse of invitation hymn. And I would ask you, if you would, to say, Lord, give me your mind this week. Lord, help me to be the kind of vessel that you could pour your Spirit into me. Give me fruit of the Spirit this week. Father, would you bless these, your people? Lord, help us to live as Christ this week. Lord Jesus, help us to lift you up. Let us shine this week. That we'd leave no stumbling blocks, Lord, but that we would lift you up. We'd be sincere, real, and Lord, that we could have the fruits of the Spirit in our life. Now speak to our hearts tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.